Welcome to the How to Be a Minimalist podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Katie and I'm your host. If you're looking for the links that I talk about in the show, as well as my YouTube channel or how to become a patron, you can find all of those in the details of this podcast episode. I hope you settle in and enjoy the show. This is episode number 87, Deepening Minimalist Practices. Hey there, minimalists. I hope you are having a good day today. We are going through a heat wave and it feels really good to me for the most part. But I think my husband is about to melt into a puddle. I'm not sure how he's handling it very well. Generally speaking, though, we are doing well. We are on the road visiting family still and are about to get on the move a little bit more. The summer is turning out to be super chill. We thought that we would be traveling a little bit more, but we also have some goals and are trying to make sure our savings stays in our savings account. So that's kind of where we are, trying to make the most of the things that we are doing, while also being a little bit conservative with our resources. For my personal update, I am revisiting my goals this week, and I think it's a great time to do it if you also created any New Year's resolutions for 2021 or goals for this year or whatever. I just think taking a moment mid-year to check things out, see how you're doing, see what maybe you've forgotten about, or what can you reassess to make it work for you for the end of the year and make some progress on. I think it's a great idea to take a moment to do that when you get a chance. I took a quick look at my goals and I was able to quickly see certain things like, oh wow, I forgot that I even made that goal. Or yeah, my books that I got for drawing and Spanish workbook stuff, that's been nagging at me for a long time and I've made no progress there. You know, some of that stuff is really good for me to look at and a good reminder for me to get a move on and get going on it. But I'm just trying to figure out in my head, what do I actually want to do? None of these things are things that I want to participate in unless it is simultaneously filling my soul and building my character. I'm kind of asking myself those questions. What do I really want to get out of this? A shift is necessary as I am reevaluating, and also other goals have come into play that I was not expecting to come into play this year for our family. And so I'm having to dedicate more time to those things. So yes, absolutely shifting and reevaluating are necessary. That is very possible that that's what's happening for you as well, which is another reason to do one of these mid-year goal reviews. Something interesting today comes from a post on Instagram from Jordan Peterson. He is a clinical psychologist and I've just newly been introduced to him. I've seen a few of his YouTube videos and he is one Instagram account that I recently chose to follow when I popped onto Instagram for like 5 minutes the other day. And oh dear, it's been a while and I am, like with YouTube, trying to figure out what I want to do that will be positive for all of you as well as me and my posting and that sort of thing. So I haven't had much time to be on there, just generally speaking anyway, but I also am in that contemplating mode. So Jordan Peterson, getting back to him, the post that I saw was him being interviewed by someone and this person said, life is short. How do we create a sense of urgency? Jordan Peterson starts talking about actually paying attention. He talks about visiting his parents and he starts calculating how old they are, how long they might live, how often he goes and visits them and that sort of thing, and realizes he's only going to see his parents X amount of times and that's it. And he pauses and it makes you think, wow, if I had to say this is how many more times I'm going to see this person that I love deeply, if I stop to think how many more vacations I get to take with my kid before they're off to college, it really makes you think. He then says, you'd better get it right because you don't have that many opportunities. And I'm going to add on there, no pressure, right? I watched this clip 4 times. At first, there was something in me that kind of rejected this idea of creating a sense of urgency because it sounded synonymous with stress or creating panic. That is not what he is saying. I don't think a clinical psychologist would ever say that. But I think what he's saying is to take a moment to make sure that the things you are doing are important. The post says, you get older a lot faster than you think, so pay attention. Attention is an underrated faculty. It's not the same as thinking. It's watching to see what's in front of your eyes, to guide yourself as a consequence of what you perceive. It's the faculty that transforms thought, if you let it. And your conscience alerts you as well. It lets you know when you're wasting time, and very few people are happy with that. No one escapes that voice of conscience. I know I personally can become overwhelmed with that sense of urgency because for me, sometimes it does turn into a sense of stress. And that is not, again, I don't think that is what he is saying at all. But we can become more calculating people if we actually take a moment to pay attention and think about what we really want to get out of things. And that is partly what I want to talk about today. And his post definitely inspired this podcast episode. On the topic of deepening minimalist practices, I always want to kind of go deeper because there are definitely episodes where I want to talk about the practicalities of cleaning, decluttering, ditching your stuff, all that sort of thing. I think it's important to revisit those things. And as I learn about those kind of logistical things of getting rid of your excessive possessions, I like to share those things. Or sometimes I feel like, wow, well, somebody that is new to this podcast would not necessarily go back and listen to the episode number 20 where I was talking about it. And I'm hopefully getting a little bit better at this. And so I will probably be able to express better how to do this as well as share the things that I've learned. So I always think it's a great idea to readdress those sorts of things. We are always evolving. We are always figuring out new things. So of course, we're going to have different ideas on how to do things. And I love to share that sort of thing. But I also love to share the deeper side of minimalism, where it's not just about possessions necessarily, but maybe deeply into why we might want to get rid of those things and why we want to have less in our lives and why we want to have better activities in our lives. I have to say, when I saw this clip as well as read Jordan Peterson's post, I immediately thought of minimalism because I thought it fit so well with minimalistic practices. Pay attention was the first thing that I actually saw, and then I watched the little video clip. We waste so much time on stuff we don't really want in our lives, and I think that we become immune to it. We don't really notice ourselves tidying things up, shopping for things. We don't really notice that stuff unless we alert ourselves and open our eyes. Sometimes we can even forget that there's an eyesore of a mountain of clutter on our kitchen counter. Maybe the rest of our house is clean, but we have this one little spot where there is a bunch of clutter. And unless we pay attention and open our eyes, we'll never notice it because we become blind to those things. Our minds kind of become numb to that because we can only stress out about it for so long before it becomes a low humming stress. I would not say that it just goes away all the time, but it's a low grade stress and it's just sort of on all the time. Every time we walk past it, we know it's there, but there's no sense of urgency about it because our brains won't continue to alert us to that problem forever and ever and ever necessarily. Unless we pay attention and take a moment to really open our eyes and look around our house, it is very unlikely that we will ever see all of the things in our home that really probably don't have a good reason for being there. The same goes with our days and our lives. We can spend so much time on activities and people that are time suckers, time wasters, or maybe not even in the right balance. Perhaps there are people or activities that we want in our lives, but they're just taking a little bit too much and we need to reconfigure what we really want to get out of that. When I pay attention, I see what I use and what I don't use. When I pay attention, I notice how much time I waste on negative thinking. I can get very stuck in cyclical negative thinking and it's not healthy. I went on my walk this morning and I wanted to be kind of quiet and meditative, which is why I didn't turn any music on, but I found myself continuing to kind of magnetize back to the thing that I'm kind of worried about right now. And I had to work really hard on putting it back in its spot and telling myself, you know, that doesn't have a place right now for me in my head. It needs to go away for now and I will deal with it later. So I had to kind of put it in a little mental box and say, okay, you stay here for a while so that I could have a quiet moment to walk and have a clear mind. It's so easy though to not pay attention to that and to get sucked into it and then find myself worse off after walking and not have this clear, refreshed mind and body when I'm done. When I pay attention, I also notice how many shows I've binged. When I pay attention, I notice how often I'm shopping or different things like that. And I'm able to see what is not quite right in my life. I recently decided to give sushi a try. I've never had a good opportunity to have it. I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't know how I feel about seaweed. It's not something I grew up with. It's not something that I'm used to, all that sort of thing. I did recently realize, though, that I've been using pink Himalayan salt, which is not iodized, as I was kind of searching out, well, how can I get a little bit of iodine into my diet, make sure I'm doing okay that way? I realized that nori sheets, which are the sheets that sushi are wrapped in, if you don't know, those have iodine in them, and you can wrap all kinds of delicious, healthy things into them. So it took me a long time to commit because of my feelings about seaweed, but I finally decided, you know what, I'd better try this. I think it would be a healthy thing for me to be eating. I had to order the nori sheets. I had to figure out what kind of rice to use. I ordered a special kind of rice because I could not find a higher quality short grain rice where I was located. I really wanted to make sure that I liked sushi in order to get these nori sheets into my system so I could get that iodine in. And I know a bunch of you are probably shaking your heads thinking, Katie, there are easier ways. But there's just something about it also where I am trying to expand my palate the last several years, and it's a bit of a challenge for me. So it's actually kind of fun, even though it's time consuming and obviously sort of ridiculous. Anyway, I have all my ingredients. I'm ready to make the sushi. And as I'm preparing it, I'm cutting up all these little vegetables all small. I'm doing all this stuff. I made my little sauce for dipping. It occurred to me, I had better like this because this has been a very time-consuming process. It was in that moment of paying attention that I realized, wow, I've spent a lot of time on this. And again, considering whether it was worth it or not, it definitely was. And by the way, I really like the sushi. I have nothing to compare it to because that was the only time I ever had it, but it was good. So that was a nice thing. I had that moment of considering whether this was worth it to me or not. Now, taking my health seriously is important to me. There have been many times, though, when I've had moments like this, when I looked at what I was doing and I realized, this is a total waste of my time and it's very time consuming and I'm getting nothing out of this. This is not benefiting my character. It is not filling my soul. This is not a good thing for me to be participating in. Paying attention is really important. The next thing that I wanted to talk about is remember that life is short. When I really think about things and kind of do some calculating, I always kind of wonder what amount of total percentage of my life do I want to spend shopping or cleaning or trying to get rid of my stuff or working on a certain goal? And when I remember that life is short and I take a moment to calculate the true cost or the negative value, that has always, always served me. Getting down to the nitty-gritty of things, remembering that life is short and that I don't want to spend all that time doing various mundane tasks, or when I do the mundane tasks, I want them either to be challenging, like, you know, finding a new way of nourishing my body by making sushi, and it's kind of fun and challenging and interesting and all that sort of thing. I have to eat, right? So if I'm going to eat, it might as well be fun. That's how I view that. Cleaning is something, if you've listened to more than a few podcasts, you know that I don't like it. So I'm going to make that process as short as possible. That means that I have calculated that I need less stuff and my family needs less stuff, or they need to be completely in charge of their stuff. But mostly we all need less stuff in our family and in our home. So we calculate and I calculate and I see what can be gotten rid of. What is a task I don't want to do anymore? What can I let go of so that I don't have to deal with that anymore? What is important for me to remember here is that not only do I not want to spend time doing those mundane tasks, or I want to be as limited as possible, but I want to deeply engage in beautiful, fun things in my life. There may not be a tomorrow for me to learn how to do something that I've always wanted to learn how to do. There may not always be a tomorrow for my family to sit out on the blanket and stargaze, which is something we did last night, which was very lovely. There may not always be a next time. As Jordan Peterson said, just a quick reminder, you'd better get it right because you don't have that many opportunities. He's not saying you don't have any opportunities. He's also not saying that you can't make opportunities. In fact, I think his message is really positive. You can make opportunities, but you need to take opportunities, take the ones that you have. I feel so strongly about that right now. It's something that I've really been thinking about. There's something really weird about my kid turning into a teenager, and it's made me deeply think about what I want to do, because those years with babies, they fly by so fast. And sometimes I look at my kids and I still see them as just little kids running around, but they're not anymore. I have two middle schoolers now, and it's nuts to me. It's so fast. It's like it's not fair at all. So right now, that's what I'm contemplating and calculating and remembering. Life is short. Even if, you know, generally speaking, let's say I get to live till I'm 90, this time with my kids is short and nobody knows what we get. So we've got to take a moment to make it worth it. And there is hope and there is potential and there's character growth, there's opportunity, even if it's teeny tiny bits of opportunity that are like little tiny grains of sand. If we gather those together, it will eventually amount to something. And that is a beautiful thing about life. While we don't know how much opportunity we get, there's always some little teeny tiny thing we can do, even if it's in our minds, to be a little bit more positive and to enjoy our life experience a little better and to get a little bit more of what we want out of it. Calculating the true cost of the negative value that's in my life definitely has had a major benefit in my life and has made me take stock and recognize what I need to get out of my life. The last little category that I wanted to talk about is, what do you really want to spend your time on? For me, the answer to this question is ever evolving. But it only really has an opportunity to evolve if you ask the question. So you kind of have to always revisit this question. What do I really want to spend my time on? This is where, again, we can calculate, but also we can define our whys. I'm definitely redefining my whys right now as I go through my life, as my child has turned into a teenager, as I look at my goals for the year, as I look into the future at these new goals that we have as a family. I kind of am seeing where defining my whys and what that answer really is changing a lot. And that's okay. Things change. It's actually a really good thing. It means that we're growing and evolving. I think we're much better able to get what we want out of life changes and our life experience, just generally speaking, though, if we know kind of what we want. Defining your whys can be a little bit tricky sometimes. It definitely means being thoughtful for me and taking a moment to think about them. I also find that I have to be aware of what words continue to come into my mind as I am working on a project that I need to define a why in or whatever. But I do notice that themes become apparent as I am considering, what do I really want to get out of this? What do I really want to spend my time on? What do I want this project to end up looking like? I can slowly see what the answers are as I continue to ask myself those questions, and those become my little mantras. Once I have those mantras, I can write them down. I can write them in my journal. I can just continue to think about them, memorize them. I can put them as a backdrop photo on my phone. Whatever it is, I can do that and I can figure out how to remind myself of those things daily. But unless I know them, I can't do any of that and I can't remind myself about any of those things. And I don't have those things to live by. Those whys are not guiding my choices. And it's in those moments that I'm kind of searching and floundering and a little bit lost. And it's okay to get a little bit lost. I think it's where we can find growth and take a moment to define our whys. I get into trouble most when I'm not actively working on figuring out what my whys are. And as Jordan Peterson said, it lets you know when you're wasting time, and very few people are happy with that. No one escapes that voice of conscience. My minimalist challenge today would be to spend today or tomorrow paying attention to the waste in your life. Maybe you will pay attention to the physical things. Maybe you will pay attention to the non-physical. I would definitely look at the things that hold a lot of negative value in your life. it can be difficult to open your eyes to things that are adding a lot of negative value to your life. But I think opening our eyes to that is essential in order to change. But also, we don't have to let that awareness of the negativity overwhelm us. We can simply use the awareness as a tool to choose one or two things to work on. We don't have to change everything right away. It's almost impossible to change everything right away. It's really hard work to change and to do things differently. But that awareness has always helped me to change and has guided me and helped me to do things a little bit at a time. And I find the most success in those things that I take just one little step each opportunity that I get. That kind of change usually sticks around. The habits are the thing that change our lives. That's all I've got for this episode. I hope you have a great week. And remember, it's all about the experiences, not the stuff.